According to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants, and the cleansings, God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant. Listen and be blessed.
Lord, we are grateful to be gathered under your feet. This is your meeting. This is your table. This is your feast. This is your house. We recognize your presence in our midst. Walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Jesus, Son of God, we recognize your high priestly ministry. You that are seated in glory, in majesty, bringing forth blessings from the throne of God. Thank you for the ministrations of mercy, ministrations of glory, ministrations of your word, ministration of your blood, ministrations of your book. We are grateful, Jesus. Thank you for showing us mercy, for us to begin to conceive and comprehend high thoughts. Thoughts in the realms of God. Thoughts in the realm of glory. Thoughts in the realm of salvation. Salvation to God. We are grateful for finding our generation, for raising gifts of men in this generation, for beating us into shape to pick your frequency, the core of your heart, for this dispensation. Lord, I am grateful. We are grateful as a company. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I align myself tonight, trusting you for grace. I have no words of my own. I humble myself before you. Let the words I speak be words that are able to build and quicken your people. Let them not be words of my own, but your own very words. Let them be portions that are from you for the blessings of the saints. Hearts be open, that grace be established, that grace establish every heart. That your people be edified, that you alone be glorified. Lord, that you alone take the glory, that Lord, you alone take the honor. That you alone take adoration. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Son of God. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. And the people of God says, the word, the overcomers, is a high statement. It's our missionary statement. It defines our mission as a company. And that's very important. I said, Reverend, so you give us a strong resolution in the spirit. And because I noticed, I started perceiving that God wanted us to be very particular about marking time. Because I pray for the work. And at times God tells me things about the work. When I mean the work, I'm not talking about City Gate Church, the work. And so sometimes I'm burdened also. And I understand that there's still many areas that God still needs to help us as it relates to marking time. We have made a lot of progress as a company. Comparing us with the general body is not a good way of comparing. You would miss it because as a company, we have really journeyed far. I can't deny that. So I'm not talking about comparing ourselves with the general body out there. No. So that's not, I'm talking about comparing ourselves with what I see here. So when it comes to that, we are far behind. All right? So one of the things the Lord used to comfort me, the Lord said he's going to get the job done. At a point, the Lord said, don't worry, because I was bodied. When I'm bodied like this, I'll just, a weight will be on me. And the Lord says, don't worry, I'll get the job done. But, you know, yesterday I was talking about energy and power. All right, I said energy is the ability to do work. Power is the rate at which work is done. And I was using it to describe the journey of overcoming. And when rate is slow, I did chemistry in school, you introduce what they call a catalyst. So catalysts speed up the rates of reaction. So God told me that catalyst is tribulation. So the Lord told me that prepare your complaint. Tribulation is coming. The tribulation is coming. And it's going to be a tool to make many. Now, in most cases, the problem is not the leadership. In the book of Revelation, there was nothing wrong with the angels of the churches. They were okay. The problem was there was so much distance between the angels and the churches. You know, so when they want to close gap, they have to introduce tribulation. So even John needed that atmosphere to receive the book. Actually, all those churches were tribulation churches. What did I say they were? Because there were churches in the kingdom. There was no church in the book of Revelation, including the first John that Pastor Thompson was teaching about. Well, there's a lot of theological debate concerning when each of those epistles were written. But from what I gathered, after this experience, John went back to Ephesus. He went back to live in Ephesus. Maybe that's where he transited from. So, and we understand that the epistles of John were had root in Ephesus. The first epistle, particularly first epistle of John. So there's an high probability that the epistles of John were the application to the book of Revelation. All right? That John started writing after the Patmos experience. So when he received the book of Revelation, you know, the book of Revelation, it came by a prophetic encounter, even though it is an epistle. It is an epistle to seven churches in Asia, but it came by a prophetic encounter. Because, you know, in the book of Revelation, we see epistles to seven churches. But beyond that, we saw that John, there were all other things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the prophets. This is very powerful. So it takes time to raise a reader. A reader are those that have grace to interpret the message of the book. And the message of the book comprises many things. The word of God, testimony of Jesus. The sayings of the book. Then there's what I call all other things that he saw. Can we all say amen? Verse 1, all right? So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So revelation of Jesus Christ is the appearing of the Son of God. And the book of Revelation is climax appearing. It's a climax. So Jesus has been revealing himself, all right, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And his sentence signified what? By his angel unto his servant John. Verse 2 is where I'm going. Who bear record of what? The word of God. Pastor labored more around the word of God today. All right? That's the word of the living God. What did I say the word of God is? Because the living God is the body of the true God. You can't break into the world of the true God without the living God. The living God is the case of the true God. The true God is the blood. The living God is the body. What did I say? So when you see the way Zion is arranged, it says you have come unto what? Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So that is what, sir, you have been teaching us, that Christ, the Son of the living God. So I'm in, on top of Zion is the city of the living God. All right? So it's really, really, really difficult to separate Zion from the city. There is a component. It's just that for the sake of teaching and receiving them, all right? Receiving all of the secrets of the dominion of the kingdom, which begins from Christ, we have to divide them. But actually, they come together. Can we say amen? You have come to Mount Zion, come unto the city of the living God. Then what? The what? Unto the what? Heavenly Jerusalem. So the temple of God is inside the city of the living God. So that's why the true God is the inner life of the living God. So you must first receive the body of God before you receive the life of God. What did I say you must first receive? So what Pastor Thompson majored on is to raise the house of God. That is what he taught us. So, book of Revelation. So, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony? So, these churches had already received the word of God. They were holding because they will not be servants if there was no word. Can we say amen? What made them servants was that they had the word of God. You cannot serve without it. You cannot serve God. You cannot be a servant of the living God without being raised. Can we say amen? So in those days, you see, fathers raised altar first. Altars in those days are not the kind of what we call altar. They were buildings. An altar can be as tall as 6 feet. Some of the altars that Solomon built for some of the goddesses of his strange wives, they were massive altars. There were constructions of slabs, a brazen. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Amen. They were building up. So you can't serve God if you are not built up. What did I say? But service is not complete without God's life. They must not just raise the building, they have to quicken it. So now in the season of the blood or the testimony of Jesus, there are many seasons in it. Can we all say amen? So but this church had the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So meaning the Son of God had appeared to them as the living God, and he had also began to appear to them as the true God. They were now about to climax the season of the true God that enters into the promise of eternal life. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. Actually, that transition of climaxing the true God into the world of eternal life is the greatest time of warfare. Because you can have the revelation of the true God, and it is not capped. It is not a capped revelation. And that is the purpose of the book of prophecy. It was supposed to seal them. So even though they were in the era of the blood, but they were not yet sealed with the name. The name is a signature of finished work. What did I say the name is? So when you study seven churches in the book of Revelation, you will know that they had not finished work. But they had done first. Like I said, they had the word of God. The living God was already raised. And they had already begun to receive the ministry of the blood. Can we say amen? Because we have the voice of the word of God, and we also have the voice of the blood of God. So they were in the era of the voice of the blood of God. What is the purpose of the voice of the blood of God? To seal them with the name of the true God. Can we say amen? Amen. So when they are sealed with the name of the true God, they can now, the Godhead can rest. So the Godhead can only rest where there's a cap of the true God. Remember I told you, amen, that the purpose of overcoming in the book of Revelation is to give God a place of rest. Can we say amen? Amen? That God wants to rest in man. When I mean God, the Godhead. Now, when I mean God, amen, I mean the eternal Godhead. So when you look at Revelations 21 and 22, What we see is the eternal God finding a place of rest in a people. They are called the people of God. Can we all say the people of God? So to be a people of God, you have to overcome. The overcomers are the people of God who have been fully raised to become an house of rest for the eternal God. So the issue is beyond the true God. But the reason for the book of prophecy is to finish the work of the true God and prepare them for the habitation of the Godhead of God. I use the Godhead deliberately because it is now the full Godhead finding rest in the bride. I said the project is a twin project. It is the habitation of God and also the bride. Bride to the Lamb. I thought about that yesterday. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. And I divided between the bride and company and the bride. And there's also a difference between overcomers, company, and the overcomer. All the churches in the book of Revelation were overcomers, company. You can't be here. Seven churches. They selected seven churches. So those churches have been overcoming because they were in tribulation. They were in tribulation. So when you are in tribulation, the purpose of tribulation is for overcoming. The purpose of tribulation is overcoming. So when you see verse 9 of book of Revelation, can we all say amen? Are you with me? So I, John, who am what? I, John, who am what? Your brother. So they were brethren. This is not okay because John is trying to say he's humble. This is not about humility. They were brethren. Eh? And what? Companion in tribulation. And what? In the kingdom and patience of the Son of God. This Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So these were churches of the Son of God. What did I say they were? So all of them were different seasons of tribulation. However, tribulation must be complete. To be sealed with the name of the true God. Meaning all the components of God must be fully received. All the components of God's life. So that is what I was trying to teach us when I says inheriting all things. The purpose of the revelation of Jesus or the appearing of Jesus is the inheritance of all things. Can we say amen? Amen. That's in Revelation 21. Verse 6, we see that there. And what are those also? All things there are the immutable things of God. They are the things that will make God not change his mind concerning the project of resting in man. What did I say there? They are the things of God that will make him not change his mind. Meaning, God can begin a project and he can stop. And nobody can take him to court. So, but the purpose of the full revelation of Jesus is to bring God to a place of committance where he will now tie it with an oath. Because anytime oath is not involved, God can change his mind. Blessing is not complete without oath. What did I say, sir? So oath is the conclusion of a matter. The capping of a matter. If God does not swear, even there is no committance. So nobody can take God to court. It means that you have not built according to pattern. Now, the revelation of Jesus must be fully installed in us for God to rest in us. All the revelation, what comprise? Because the Son of God is a building, is a work. The project of God is about reproducing God in man. That is everything. Just summary of everything. What is God doing? He wants to reproduce himself in man. Can we all shout, Son of God? Son of God. Say it one more time. Son of God. So, Son of God is a work. Sonship is work. Is the work of God. Because sonship did not exist until God desired to be a father. They were all spirits in their world. So because God now wanted to bring man into fellowship with him, God had to introduce a new concept called sonship or son and fatherhood. You can't have sonship without a father. So meaning one of the Godhead would take the role of a father, the other would take the role of son. So the Son of God is the work of God. What did I say the Son of God is? So you see, Jesus talked a lot about works in John. Finished work. Because sonship is God walking himself in man. So God fully walked himself in Jesus. So when you see Jesus, you are seeing God. Jesus, the Son of God, is the God that man can take. What did I say, sir? You are not getting me. No man has seen God at any time. So you can't even approach God. You can't see him. To see him there is that you cannot sight him. You can't comprehend him. You don't even know where he is, how he is. No man has seen God at any time. But so the reason why, so I said the only begotten Son, which is where? In the bosom, that is where, that is his state. Is in the fellowship of his father. He's perpetually joined to his father. A bosom is the place of his, that's a secret. It's in a father's secret place. That is where he dwells. It is the only one that has the ability to declare him. Or the word, that declaring is not just teach, it's to reveal him. So the Son of God is the revelation of God. What did I say the Son of God is?
The revelation of God.
So Jesus received all of the mysteries of God and embodied it and became a pattern for us. So the purpose of revelation is to reveal him, make him known so that he will be fully installed in man. And when that becomes the case, then Godhead can rest. Can we say amen? There's nothing that attracts God to man when they see the Son. The Son of God is the aroma that we pull, that we're called the Son of God. Now, I'm not talking about the Son of God as a person. I'm talking about the Son of God as a work, as a complete work of the Godhead. Once they see that, God will rest in man. So that is what the bride is to our Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning that work of sonship has been fully done in them. Do you get what I'm saying? That work of the Son of God has been fully done in them. Glory to God. I can't hear you say amen. Revelation. So I talked about that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Calvary Daily, Nosh, Capra, Testavinia, Notesilia. It is the song, the walk of the God.
Yes.
The walk of the God.
Amen.
The one that has completely received the copy.
Yes.
Of the DNA.
Yes.
Of the God.
Thank you, sir.
He is the one that has the capacity also to copy it in other men, in raising many, 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 many sons, in raising many, many sons, to bring even to man the real, the original copy, the original copy, the original DNA of the Godhead in man, oh, the Son, the walk of the Father, the walk of the Father, for he has a carbon copy of the Father. He has it, and he can replicate the same
yes.
in many. And he wants to replicate the same in many, in many, in many. So if you can see the Son, you have seen the Father.
Amen.
If you can see the Son, there is a transference. There is a delivery. There is a giving of the same nature. And you believe the Son. If you can see him and believe him, the same work has been done inside of you. See the Spirit.
So the Son of God needed to ascend into the true tabernacle in heaven for the purpose of the ministry of that work. So currently the work of raising God's house cannot be done if the Son of God remains in the flesh, in the body. I mean, now Jesus as a person actually finished the work before he transited. He finished the work of sonship. So, ever say sonship.
Sonship.
So, sonship is a work. A man called Jesus became the Son of God. He grew into it. He fulfilled it. He finished that work. There are a lot of people that are Jesus, but they are not Son of God. If you go to Latin America, many people are called Jesus. Jesus, you'll be hearing Jesus. You know, it's strange here, but it's a very common name. Eh? So, the fact that you are being Jesus does not make you a son of God. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. What qualifies you as a son is that you have done the work and finished the work that reveals God to man. That work that is God reproduced in the Son. So I believe that the Son of God, that reality called Son of God, had existed in God before the beginning. Can we say amen?
Amen?
They just brought it out because they wanted to have a world where men will share of their fellowship. So the kingdom of God is a kingdom of father and sons. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So why was John on Patmos? He was in Patmos for the word of God. Actually, it means because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. When you read it there, it's like, no. He was a servant of the word and a prophet of the testimony of Jesus. But the work of the testimony must be fully done. Amen. What did I say? The work of the testimony of Jesus must be fully done. The testimony of Jesus must generate an understanding. There is a saying that must be fully received that will cause them to finish. So when you look at the seven churches, their journey, they have done works. But then there was a last portion of work that needed to be done for them to fully overcome. Now, this is my point. Overcoming is tied to finishing work. What did I say? So when you are doing work, what are you doing? Overcoming. Now, like I said yesterday, you know, I can teach overcomers from many angles, dimensions of overcoming, and they are powerful, all right? But this conference, we are particular about painting the ultimate victory concerning our conquests. When you say the overcomers, they are finished work called the Son of God. So when you look at them, they are witnesses. Glory to God. So meaning that what? They have the word of God. They have the testimony of Jesus. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And the testimony is capped by oath. So I can have testimony, but oath is not involved. Because it means that the work of the testimony is not finished until God commits himself and cap it. So once you are not sealed, you are not finished. Amen.
Amen.
What did I say?
Sealed,
you are not saying it like you want it. So the purpose of Sealing is a cap of finishing an exact work. So there's something about God and accuracy. You know, when I look at read the seven churches, I just studied, waited upon it, I understood that God has a high standard for accuracy. And very not too very long, as a movement, we'll start experiencing this dimension of the sun. I don't think we have started. They are just still preparing us. This dimension is a very tough one. It's a very tough one. It's high scrutiny of the Son of God. Very high scrutiny of the Son of God. Jesus told the church, he said, I will spew you out. You know, can you imagine that? You know, reading an epistle, because there were epistles. So, I receive an epistle and then I'm reading it to the church. And I'm telling them that Jesus says, he will spew us out. To the Ephesian church, he said, I will take the lampstand. Because their problems, and they were doing works and crumbling the works, they fell. He says, look from where you are fallen from first work. So they had done a work of building. They had done a work of building, but they were compromised. I believe that their first work was not thorough. So it's possible that you're not thorough with your first work and you're in the season. Amen. Yeah. Are you with me? You can do the first work and you're not thorough with it, Pastor. Yeah. And then you will have come into the era of the blood. Because they administer them in seasons. Yeah. So there is a season where you should be in the blood. All right? And when that season comes and you don't do the first work well, you will be there in that season where the second work is being revealed, but your first work is not done. It's not perfect. When I mean done, when they say it never done. You know, when you are doing bully, you know, when you eat bully and the bully still has some areas that are raw. You say, madam, this thing never done. Everybody say, never done. So Ephesian church were never done with first work. And they have moved them to the next. So what God was saying is that, you guys, remember when thou art fallen. When you studied the church, you could rightly pick what they were doing wrong. But you see, what they were doing wrong is from the standard of the work called the Son of God. Because there is a measurement. Everybody say measurement. Now, that measurement is lamp. Like I was teaching yesterday, the lamp of God is what captures the quality of life in the Godhead. So, the Son of God is a reproduction of lambic life. When we say sonship, it's actually lambic life being what fully received by men. When you check the Godhead, they are naturally lambs. So that's why in describing them in the book of Revelation, you can see lamb. Lamb is the lamb that could take the book in chapter 5. Now that book in chapter 5 is different from the book in chapter 10. But they are connected. Can we say amen? Glory to God. I can hear you say amen. And then in Revelation 14. The 144,000 stood with the lamb. So we are seeing that the picture of the lamb, the portrait of the lamb, is what captures the work of sonship. So when the work of God is fully done as son, you will be like the lamb. You know that Pastor Lawrence, smelling like a lamb. Come on, sing it. You get what I'm talking about. So to smell like a lamb, you must finish their work. Glory to God. Can we all say amen? Can we move to the next thought? Hallelujah. So word of God, testimony of Jesus. Living God. True God. That must be headed or capped or sealed. So between the second work and being sealed, there's a short work. Everybody say short walk. So what is that short walk? It's a finishing walk. is a ceiling walk. Let us cap your walk as a full son of God. Then before that, because of that, they can adopt you to the throne. Now remember the third thing I said, after that, God wants a place of rest, so we must be overcomers. And I said that the place of rest is the habitation of God, eternal habitation of God, is also the bride of the Lamb, but also God wants to adopt people to the throne. You also talked about it. Because you cannot use the powers of the throne. The throne, you cannot administer the throne if you are not fully lambic. Now, this age will not end until they raise a man-child. Now, what is the purpose of the man-child? To cause this dispensation to end. Because they have the ability to make room for others. So in the book of Revelation chapter 12, we see churches in their different order. We have the woman, we had what? Remnant of her seed that had the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. Then we now had the man-child that had the book that can cap the work of the testimony of Jesus and make them access what? The throne of God. Can we say amen? Amen. So what's the purpose of the book? To make you fully lamb. It takes a lamb to wield the power of the throne. Now I'm telling you your destiny. This is my destiny. When I mean this is your destiny, this is something that God is looking for men to come into. Glory to God. So you're reigning. He says he must reign until all enemies be put under his foot. Now, why was Jesus tough with the seven churches? Jesus was looking for a church that will be adopted to the throne and can begin to fulfill Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Glory to God. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. This is Jesus Christ. This is fulfilled in the Son. Can we say amen? The Lord shall send what? The rod of thy strength out of Zion. You see, this rod, the word rod in the Hebrew is from the word mate. It means a tribe. So this rod of thy strength is a people that have become the rod of God. Like the way Moses was to Egypt. Moses was the rod of God to Egypt. There is a company that has finished the work of God that becomes the what? Rod of God. The Lord shall send. I like the word send. Everybody say send. So these are overcomers. You know, they cannot send you except they have redeemed you fully. Acts chapter 26, verse 16 to 18. The Lord is our strength. Can we say amen? Glory to God. They will redeem you before they send you. We see that in the life and ministry of Paul. We saw that in Moses. Moses had to be redeemed from Egypt to be sent as a rod. So they cannot wield you as a rod. So that man-child company, they are a rod. They are the first in the, when you say bridal company, it's the old company, but they quickly became all that Jesus wanted. So Jesus quickly used them as a means of closing the age and bringing others into glory. Can we say amen? So the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule down in the midst of the enemies. So you need to be caught up to God and the throne to be able to do this. You cannot cut down the adversary from the air. You cannot cut him down without this. So we saw in Revelation chapter 12 that what made heaven had the legal right to drive the dragon out of the air was because somebody was already caught up to the throne of God. Can we say amen? Amen. There was already an adaptation to the throne. Somebody had finished work and become the full revelation of Jesus, and they can access this throne. First, for the purpose of reigning. There will reign till, so there will begin with an everlasting reign. Listen to me. Can we say amen? And it will what? It will enter into an eternal dominion. Hallelujah. So look at it. I like the word. He will reign till he has what? Put down all enemies. So enemies will not be put down. Perpetually subdued. You know, I can become immune to an enemy. Does not mean I've subdued it. Immunity to you is not putting you down perpetually. I can be kept from you. But that is not enough. God wants enemies to be what? Subdued. Put down. So when you say overcomers, everybody say overcomers. They come over. They come over the adversary. There are people that walk with God that Satan could not do anything about them. But, what I mean? Meaning that they became immune to him. However, they did not subdue him. Or better say, they did not cut him out of the air. Pastor Tosin, we have God had had measures of overcomers before this age. People have been overcoming. But there is the overcomers. The assignment is to cut the adversary down and subdue him so that he will not rise again. Can we say amen? Amen. I need to give you that macro vision. Because faith cannot be generated until understanding is brought. Can we say amen? Amen. For he must reign till he has put all his enemies, what? On his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is dead. Now let's go back to seven churches. So, the purpose of the seven churches in Asia was for them to finish work and come into handling the promises of eternal life. Can we say amen? Amen. If God needs those churches in this dispensation, it's for just one thing. To cut down the adversary. Because who was warring the seven churches was the dragon. Now, Satan himself has faces. You see that the dragon was seven-headed monster. Pastor Thompson taught us when he says the world. So, all of the doctrines in the seven churches, it was the world warring with those churches. In the book of Revelation, there are colors that capture the world and different faces. So we have purple, we have scarlet, then we have red. Red is the world of the dragon. Scarlet is closer. With word of God, you can undo scarlet. Now, with word of Christ, you cannot even undo purple finish. The purple of the woman in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation is mystery. Mystery Babylon is not just the world of, it's not just the world of darkness of this world or things in this world. The mystery Babylon is a little bit higher than that. You will need the word of God to finish purple of Babylon. Can we say amen? It's just like doctrine of Balaam. Now, how do you interpret spiritual things? When you see Balaam in the Bible, you have to go and look at where did Balaam first show up. There's a principle of first mention in scripture. Balaam was an enemy at the border. He was at the enemy at the border of crossing the wilderness into the promised land. So we can say that Balaam is an enemy that will stop you from becoming servants. He fights you becoming servants. Actually, if Balaam had had his way, he will enter with them into promised land. Yes. So Balaam is Satan's attack in us not becoming built up. That's what Pastor Thompson taught. That is the world of Balaam. Balaam is a doctrine of this world that stops you from being built up. What was Balaam's problem? Wages of unrighteousness. Balaam used lust to trap them. You know, that company were joining, they were anointed one and prophets. Can we say amen? They journey from place to place. He allowed no king to touch them, saying, touch not mine anointed. This is an ordinary. And do what? My prophets no harm. So this was a company of anointed ones and prophets, mine anointed, prophets. So they were not just a company of Christ. They were a company that were called to enter into the inheritance of God. Can we all say amen? So Balaam is an assault of the dragon. All of it is the dragon originating it. An assault of the dragon to stop you from becoming built up as a servant. Can we all say amen? It was a three-tongued attack. Then Jezebel. Jezebel goes after prophets. So Jezebel is an attack against those holding testimony. Oh, can we say amen? So Jezebel looks for those that have moved beyond servants, that are already handling testimony of Jesus. They were already in the season of the blood. Because you need to enter the season of the blood for your life to be binding. Your life will not be a binding life. Or you cannot perpetuate your life until you enter into the blood. You see, inside that blood, there are riches of grace. They are supposed to make you become fully God. Meaning that you will not just have the house of God, you will have the gene of God. The purpose of the blood is to give you gene. Can you shout gene? So the purpose of blood is to burn you completely. So Jezebel, when you see what Jezebel serves, it is a type of a table. It has its own meat. It has its own drink. What is supposed to stop is for you to wield life, testimony. So Jezebel is the scarlet of the world. Balaam is the purple of the world. And like I said, Balaam starts from the sanctuary. Then there is one, the dragon, Gongo. Can we shout dragon? The last doctrine was Nicolaitans. I believe that Nicolaitans is what stops you from finishing your work. Meaning you will not become the people of God. Can we all shout people of God? So the people of God are those that have God has committed themselves to them. Meaning that they have finished God's work and God has attached it with an oath. So scarlet is close to red, but it's not red. So you can overcome scarlet. Doesn't mean you have finished your work. So all those churches, many of them at what? There were some that had done well with overcoming purple. Overcoming scarlet. But they still needed the red of the dragon. So the man child became fully red. Because in God too, there is purple, there is scarlet, there is red. Purple, word of God. Scarlet, testimony of Jesus. Red, oath. So the man child is an oath child. Well, what did I say the man child is? Now, what is oath? Oath is God swearing to give him, to commit himself to you. If God swears, the Bible says by two immutable, can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. So God wanted the seven churches to bring him to a place where he will swear. Many of them were not. I think I've heard God's servant, Reverend Kayode Egoke, say that he's not sure that any of those churches eventually made it. Maybe save the Philadelphia church. That was the only church that God says, I give you an open door. So you know that those churches, they did well in the era of the word and testimony of Jesus. So they could use the book well to finish work. So you could see that they had a track record. Jesus said, he said, you have little strength. Little strength is not like the, what you call little strength. Little strength is actually meekness. It's a product of the little book. Pastor Tosin, the product of the little book will give you what? Little strength. Little strength is supposed to bring you into high meekness necessary for God to commit himself to you and make you his people. So you can have word of God and testimony of Jesus, but you have not become the people of God. So the last warfare is a warfare against you becoming a people. Eh? Meaning you will not use the book. You will not use testimony to generate a higher sense of obedience. Revelation 12:12. Amen. So I say, you see, just open your heart. When you receive this understanding, they will start settling. I'll go to John and just tidy it up a little bit so that I can give you application to it. All of the lines are in John. Can we say amen? But I need to start here first. Because it must be precept upon precept. That's how you build. It's just that at times we don't have all the time. Precept upon precept. Lines upon lies. They're little. So we have to lay precept also. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That word of their testimony is a higher word. It is an understanding of the book. It is what blood generates. Can we say amen? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the what word of their testimony. So they have used testimony to what? The place where God committed himself with an oath. So a word was given to them. What did I say was given to them? Everybody say a word. This word is an understanding. It is a committance. It's a person committed to them. It says they overcame and they did not love their lives unto death. So it means that I must come to a place where everything called loving my life has been totally dealt with. So, Pastor, it's not easy. I need the sayings of the book to expire loving my life unto death. That was the same commandment that God gave Abraham in Revelation chapter 22. For him to what? Offer thy only son, the son that you love. So it's possible for you to be a servant. How many of you know that Jesus had to love God in a way that was unusual for him to be slain at the cross? Jesus did not love himself unto the very death. Can we say amen? It's possible for you to turn back. When you look at Jesus from the time, amen. Can we say amen? From the second experience or the transfiguration experience to Gethsemane was about 7 days. Those are the last seasons of Jesus' obedience. Pastor Tosin, they were the most difficult. So you could see Jesus, what? Praying agonizingly in Garden of Gethsemane. He was at the place of hope. Can we say amen? At that border, believe me, you may not know, but that was the point that Jesus had the highest temptation. That's what I believe. At that time when he was praying, and the Bible says he sweat became like blood. I was just wondering, but this, what was happening in that time? It was a season of heavy transaction in the spirit. He had to not love his life, even to the death. That was the warfare in that region. His greatest time of trial was in that time. But we thank God that Jesus prevailed. Can we say amen? So the purpose of this revelation of Jesus is that the book of Revelation captured what we call little book is to make you do one thing, not love your life until the death. What the world teaches is what? Loving your life. And worldliness is in different levels. For us now, they say, what you think of the world? There is a love of the world that it will take certain understanding to describe. Can we say amen? Oh, I'm not hearing you say amen. Now, let's now move into John. 1 John chapter 5. I will read the first few verses. So, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. So, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, this is not Christ Jesus, this is Jesus the Christ. So this is the Son of God. is born of God. So to be fully born of God, because there are baths in their season. There's a bath of the water. The bath of the water gives you the beauty. Pastor Thompson taught us on that. But there's another bath in the blood. Can we say amen? So in the season of the blood, what I perceive is that there are seasons of baths. Because Jesus can come as water. But Jesus can also come what? As blood. But there are what? Three things that what? Beareth witness on earth. Let me just go ahead of myself. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. So for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Can we say amen? I like whatever say whatsoever. You know, they did not say whosoever. They said what first. Because there is a what that what overcomes the world. The what must be defined. Because your who is based on the what that defines you. So whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Can we say amen? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So there are different seasons of world in the epistle of John. I've described three. The world is purple. The world is scarlet. The world is red. At times it's very difficult to access the redness of the dragon. But it's also a kind of world that is Satan living on spiritual wickedness. You know, spiritual wickedness creates an habitation. The way the Lord described it to me, they form like an habitation where he now resides in. He doesn't have their color. So it's the chief. So Pastor Thompson was saying they are wicked. There's the wicked one. There's that wicked one. You are right. Another word for it is that there is a being that is fully wicked. He is all wickedness. There are spiritual wickedness in high places, in stratas of wickedness. But there is one that is fully wicked. Why? He taught them wickedness. So it's the source of wickedness. So red is the source of scarlet. Red is the source of purple. They are all types, shades of the world. They are all shades of the world. And they are all in Revelation. So all those doctrines in the churches, they were actually the world. Warring them at different cadres. Glory to God. How I know it's a very clear thing, because they say if you overcome, you will come into promises of eternal life. Those things were there for them to come into, but they were warring with things. So whatsoever what is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Can we say amen? Our faith here is not faith in the sanctuary anymore. Now our faith, can we shout our faith? Say it one more time. This is most holy faith. Jude says, build up yourself on your most holy faith. But beloved, you know, Jude and John, they wrote epistle around the same time. So I call them Omega epistles. Don't play with that one chapter of Jude. Well, that one chapter of Jude is a congealed chapter. But beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. So that's what the word of God does. You build up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost is not praying with tongues. There's something about this praying in the Holy Ghost. It has to do with the life of the building. It has to do. How many of you know that Jesus prayed one prayer in the days of his flesh? When you look at Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 7 down, the Bible says in the days of his flesh, he made what? He offered. They didn't say he prayed. He offered, meaning that he was first built up. You cannot offer this prayer except you are a son of the living God. You must be a son of the living God, meaning that you have a house. It's an offer. You are an altar. Offered. He offered prayers and supplications with strong crying. And the Lord says he's going to still teach us this thing. We need to understand it. These are prayers of people in the most holy. Churches of the most holy. We have to start. The Lord told us, you have to start praying differently. Most of the way we pray, we got it from Holy Ghost churches. So as we come into the world of this living God more, they will give us a lot of breakthrough concerning prayer. These are prayers that are not different from your building. You cannot be praying what you are not obeying. It's not shababa, shababa, shababa. No, no, it's beyond that. Your steps are ordered. These are churches of commandments that as they are being built up, they can offer. With tears unto him that is able to what? Save him from death. This is it. So this prayer, you cannot pray it except you are a son of the living God. The purpose of this prayer is to save you from death. Meaning, so help you to overcome the dragon. And he was heard in that he feared. Why was he heard? He feared. He obeyed. So build up yourself in your most holy faith. It's the same thing. It's the same. Though he was a son of the living God, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And he became perfect. I like the word he became perfect. Meaning he finished the work. So every pattern that Jesus was looking for in the seven churches, he obeyed those things while he was in the flesh. So, beloved, build yourself in your most holy faith, what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Then keeping yourselves, what? In the love of God. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Looking for what? Mercy. So this keeping yourself in the love of God is in the season of the blood. Can we say amen? Looking for mercy. So that mercy is an understanding to help you finish your season in the blood, for you to be sealed with the name of the true God, and then you now become a place of God's rest. Everybody say mercy. So what John received for the seven churches was an understanding. It's called mercy. Some of the churches were already being kept. I believe that not all those churches got here in where they're being kept in the love of God. Now, how does that play out? That plays out in our love towards God and love for one another. Our greatest warfare, our love in the place of relationship with one another, and our response to God. 1 John chapter 5. Now let's start from verse 1. Can we say amen? Amen. So like you said, we have to, I was still telling him, I said, in recent times, I've been laboring around brethren love from time to time. What I mean brethren love? Starting from milk to Christ. I've been around that for a very long time. I found out that our greatest warfare, that is where it is. What adorns the message is our love life. We don't have any message, sir, if we don't demonstrate love. Actually, the dragon's highest title in the book of Revelation is called Accuser of the Brethren. So if you don't know how to pass from death to life, so death is actually the dragon. You cannot undo the dragon if you don't know how to love. The brethren in 1 John chapter 3, they are not just brethren that we know. They are brethren of testimony. They are prophets. So you must know how to demonstrate a certain, keep the commandment of love and pass from death to life. So all the warfare, are love warfare. They are warfare in the arena of love. So they will give us an understanding. Can we say amen? Amen. Now, 1 John chapter 5, he said something in verse 2. He says, by this we know. By this we know. But the first thing it says that everyone that loveth he that begat. Meaning, if you love the Son, you also love what? If you love him that begat. That if you love the Father, you also love the Son. Can we say amen? By this we know we love the children of God. By this we know we love the children of God. These children of God are the company keeping testimony of Jesus. When we love God, by this we know we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments, so part of keeping the commandments of God, which are commandments that help you finish your work and become a place of residence of God is what? When we love the children of God. So love, keeping the commandments of God, a major aspect of it is learning how to love. Those that are keeping. Everybody say little children. You see those little children, they are those, the company of those that are journeying into overcoming. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is what? Born of God, overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God. So, word of God, testimony of Jesus, they are tools of what? Batting. So, but there are three seasons of bat. There's a bat in the testimony of Jesus that must be finished. How I know is that verse that says there are three things that bear witness on earth. So hurt there is not really talking about Christ. It's talking about what man or in the body. There's an everlasting commandment for man to reveal God in the flesh. So there's a sense in which everlasting life is the earth of God. How I know? There are three that bear record in heaven. God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So that is the life that subscribes you to be an overcomer. I'm going somewhere. What did I say that life is? The whole concept of overcoming is that that life must be fully received in the people. They must bear witness on it. Witness is on earth. Heaven is for record. I like the word record. Record, you record something, they keep something. It's a secret. The life of God is a secret. The purpose of God is a secret in the Godhead. It is their record. It will be our witness. Even though they use the same word for it in Greek, but we know that they are different. Can we say amen? Amen. In the Godhead is a record. In the body of overcomers, it will be what? Their witness. So Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness where? In the earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three what? Can we say amen? So there is a activity of the spirit. When it says spirit there, I believe that the spirit there is the blessing that comes from the book. You will use testimony and generate a book. And that book is an understanding. It's an understanding of how to finish obeying the work called the Son of God. It's an understanding of how to overcome the dragon. There's an understanding. There is an understanding that must be brought to us. So I believe that those are the three things that he represented. He says, there are three that bear witness on that. The word. Jesus came as water. Him coming as water, is he coming as the Son of the living God. But he did not come by water only. This Jesus, of whom by him we overcome the world. And the world, there are all shades of the world that are called purple, that are called scarlet, and even the red. But not the water only, but water and blood. Everybody say water and blood. Water and blood is what? Word and testimony. Can we say amen? And it is the spirit that beareth what? Witness. Because the spirit is truth. Verse 17:18. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. So you see that, like remember, so he taught us yesterday, the manifestation of the Son of God, him coming as water and the blood, is to give you keys that break covenant of hell and death. So what you see as sin in the epistle of John is not sin in the sanctuary. It's hell. So to make you sinless is to free you of hell. Oh, are you following me? You see it in 1 John chapter 1. It says, he's talking about the blood. Cleanse you from all sin. But after a while, it was not just sin that they are dealing with. It was death. So from chapter 3, 4, and then 5. So sin, to become sinless, is for your building to be immune. Eh? For you to be built up, rather. For you to become a son of the living God. For you to be deathless, it means that you now have the genes or the life of the Son of God in you, which is blood. Can we say amen? So that's, you can accurately summarize John's message. So Jesus appeared as water and what? The blood. I believe that the spirit there is the capping of the work of the blood. The work of the blood must be finished in you becoming the people of God. Meaning that you have the seal. What is that seal? Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Look at that. But he that is becoming of God keepeth himself. This thing looks tricky, but I feel that, yes, one is for the season of the word of God. The other is for the season of the testimony of Jesus. You must be born twice. In the era of the Father. What did I say? When you look at it, why are they repeating it? That whosoever is born of God, sinneth not. Because the seed of God remaining in you is the seed, there is the word of God. There is more to the word of God in receiving the whole installation of Jesus. So I know that this thing is being born twice. You will be born by the word of God. You will be born by the water. You will also be born by the blood. So we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is what? Begotten of God keepeth himself. So this is also in Jude. Build up yourself on your most holy, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. It's the same thing. They are talking to those that are being born of the revelation of water and the blood. But there's one thing that remained. That wicked one toucheth you not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Everybody say, old world. You know, there's a place in scripture where the Bible says, the God of peace sanctify you wholly. So wickedness can separate you wholly. The whole world there is talking about the world of red. You see, there's no time. When you check Epistle of John, there's purple, there's scarlet, there's red. The whole world there is not. It's not gbogbo agbaye. It's not talking about gbogbo agbaye. It is all wickedness. You can be wholly wicked. There was a man eventually that sat. Satan gave him his seat. So it means that guy, whoever he is, amen. In Revelation 13. He's not a married guy. He must have done something. Amen. The guy must have finished the work for Satan to give him his seat. Revelation 13. Now, when you look at it in the seven churches, it wasn't just the Son of God that was walking. Satan was walking also. The thing about Satan is that he can do his work by the side. He had always done. So, amidst the seven churches, all those doctrines was also the revelation of Satan's work. Satan always wants to take out of sons of God and twist them. That is why they were being warned against second death. That was why they were talking to First John and said, some of them left us. False prophets there is not false fivefold prophets. When you enter into the world of John, fivefold becomes a little bit subjective. You have church of elders. So false prophets there are those that did not use truth to become true. He's not talking about those that are outside. It is those that began as servants of the word of God that entered into the era of testimony. They did not use testimony to become what? True. So they became false. So in the era of false prophet, what you used to judge is not what people say. You test spirit. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. So these are very, God is going to teach us how. Yeah, amen. You are moving gradually into understanding these things clearly. Can we all say amen? Can we shout amen? Amen. So in the era of using truth and becoming true, you will fight the dragon. Because the dragon specializes in raising false prophets. Satan is the first false prophet. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15. The ancient and the honorable is the head. The prophet that teacheth lies is the tail. So who was teaching lies in the seven churches? He was a prophet. Jezebel, prophet. Balaam was also a prophet. Nicolaitan, prophet. It's not about Nicholas in the book of Acts. They just used something to capture it. It was a teaching. It was an understanding in that environment that will stop you from God cutting covenant of rest with you. And they were all warfare from the world. We know the whole world lieth, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Brethren, we are gradually moving into the world. I believe currently now, listen, believe me, in the world, we don't just have purple. We have scarlet boys already. In this world, currently as I speak, there are some scarlet guys already. But it's just under. They have not come into preeminence. There are scarlet guys around. Very, very soon, not too long from now, we'll start seeing some things come. And that's why we must quickly mature. Listen, we don't have all the time to overcome. Overcoming is not to go to heaven. Overcoming is for us to reign. Oh, you're not getting it. We have to reign. We have to curse. How many of you know that the gospel of the kingdom will not be able to disciple all nations if overcomers does not reign? Matthew 24. How can we disciple nations? Witnesses are going to be the one to do the job. How can you break Japan? How can you turn the whole of the Muslim world to Jesus? I'm not talking about people getting born again. I'm talking about raising sons of God. You need the throne. You need a rod of iron to do some things, man. Some people are not going to hear your English. They cannot hear anything. They only answer to witnesses. So you now see the importance that we don't have all the time. Some people must quickly finish work, access the throne, disciple all nations, bring all enemies under his feet, then the end will come. And I believe that that is the work of our own generation. That is the mission statement, Reverend. We use this conference to Jesus is teaching us. There is a mission before us. Is to become the overcomers. The overcomers. Everybody say, shout, overcomers! So some people will be, they will be given the privilege to overcome the dragon. And John was the one teaching. Said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. But now says, what? And we know. For you to even know, it means that they have given you all judgment. Some of us don't fully know now. We still like some things in the world. But you need all judgment to know that the whole world is wickedness. The whole world. And we know that the Son of God is come. And he had given us past tense. So the understanding was what John brought to the seven churches. It was understanding of finishing and becoming true. How to become true was what he brought. And that is what the epistle of 1 John is all about. The epistle of 1 John is an epistle of the true light. Chapter 2, the true light now shineth. So, yes. So we know that what? The Son of God is coming. He has given us an understanding. So the book of prophecy is an understanding. It's an understanding of how to finish the dragon. How to exhaust all of him. You know, amen. Satan has many expressions. Devil is Satan. Satan is Satan. Dragon is Satan. All kind of expression. You don't know who you are meeting. So, but this understanding grants you what the ability to expire all of him. So a full overcomer will overcome everything that is called the world or the present. Everything. Meaning they will have understanding. They will see through it. There are still certain things that we can't see through now, but an understanding is coming. I said an understanding is coming. It is going to equip us as a company to be able to what? Overcome all of the old world that lieth where? In wickedness. So we know that the Son of God is true. He has come to understand that we may know him that is true. That we may know. It's not like they have not been knowing him that is true. But there is a way you have to keep knowing him until you become fully true. You can be in the true, but you don't have the cap of the true God yet. So the understanding is for the true God to seal you. Even in the Son Jesus Christ, this is the true God, comma, and eternal life. Meaning this true God is also what? Eternal life. So actually, eternal life starts from the true God. Anybody that is sealed with the name of the true God, which is the Father, that person is already a candidate of God's eternal habitation. God will not rest in anything that is not true. Now, the Godhead will not rest in things that are truth. You can be walking in truth and you have not become true. If you have not become true, eternal life will not rest. Eternal life only rests in the true. Everybody say true. So what we see as the bride became true. The bride gone, gone, which is the queen, she became true. Then she can become the lamp, the wife's lamp. So who they're going to give to the... Because there are still going to be all kind of virgins in the world to come. There will still be king's daughters. There will be honorable women. There will be all kind of virgins. That holy city, there are many, 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 many strata. All of... But there will not be the one that is exactly... You know, in Revelation 22, we have the throne of God, but they were now where? In the city of God. So there is a core of that city. There is a mist of that city, which I believe that the bride or the wife of the Lamb will occupy. Jesus will never forget the labor of work of overcomers. Those that overcome will have the privilege of carrying his life for all ages. What a great privilege. This is our calling. Whatever we need to war to make sure we fulfill this calling, it is a worthy one. We will not lose our place. There is no person in this place hearing me that you don't have a stake in this. You cannot. You don't hear this message by mistake. You are not in Eternal Life Embassy by mistake. You are not in Life Campaign by mistake. They brought you because you have the potential to become a place of rest for God. May we fulfill this high calling. May we not fail our God. May God have a generation that can be termed the overcomers.
We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.fmeli.org. Remain blessed.